Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
It seems no matter where you are in this world, no woods are safe anymore. For some, such as myself, the woods are a salvation away from the hustle and bustle of human life. But for some, the woods are a trigger for PTSD and anxiety from nightmares they have encountered. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Glad to see you made it back for another episode. Today I'm going to be sharing 5 allegedly true and creepy stories from the woods sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. Now, without further ado, hit that like button and comment down below to let me know that you're enjoying these videos. And relax, it's time to get scared deep in the woods. This story takes place camping on 10 acres of the forest my dad and my grandfather shared in Tallahassee. We were camping as we usually would during the winter. It was me, my brother, my dad, and our dog, Isabella. It doesn't get cold enough to snow during the winter in Florida, but it could still get pretty chilly. After making the 2.5-hour drive from Tampa to Tallahassee, my dad carefully pulled his old but sturdy Toyota Tacoma, packed to the limit with camping gear. After we unpacked and set up everything, it was already starting to get dark. We made a fire after gathering some wood in the woods around our clearing and relaxed for a bit. My dad was drinking a little bit, but not much. He wasn't, tipsy or anything, just maybe a little buzzed. I liked it when he was like that because we often had nice conversations. We were having one of those conversations when we were interrupted by an ear-splitting scream that sounded like a mountain lion and a woman being murdered all at once. It sounded like it was about 100 yards away, but my dad wasn't worried and thought it was just a mountain lion, and it would just leave us alone because of the fire. I, however, was practically peeing my pants, and my dad could tell. He told me to grab his Sig Sauer 9mm out of the truck, which I swiftly did. I was taught to respect guns and how to properly use them, and when to use them, and it was still in its holster, so he wasn't worried. He let me keep it in a little pocket in the chair. We continued our conversation. I relaxed more, and after a while, we were both tired and decided to go to bed. As I drifted away, I thought I heard sticks breaking around our camp like something was circling us. Bears often do this, but bears are rarely ever seen in Florida, and whatever was circling us was much lighter on its feet. And because of the fact that I left the SIG and 45 caliber Glock on the dog cage and in between the 2 blow-up mattresses, the dog didn't seem to be bothered by the circling, so I wasn't worried. Isabella is 3/4 English Bulldog and 1/4 Boston Terrier, and was by no means intimidating and stood no chance against any animal bigger than a squirrel. After a while, I kind of blocked out the sound and drifted off to sleep once more. I woke up at about 6 a.m., but it was already light out and my dad was awake and drinking coffee. I was half awake, and I got out of the tent and said hello to the beautiful forest around me. I noticed that the trash bag that we had on the tree was ripped open and trash was spawn everywhere. I asked my dad what happened and he said he didn't quite know, that it was probably a raccoon, and I just thought that made sense and went with it. He asked if I would pick it up, and I didn't mind because I hate littering and I know my dad had back problems, and it hurts for him to bend down too much. After that, I ate breakfast and kind of moseyed around the woods for a few hours, then came back to the campsite for lunch. After lunch, I went to an empty ditch next to our lot that was about the size of a football field if I had to guess. I set up a few targets and shot my red spider-style BB gun for a little while before I noticed how quiet it was. That put me on edge, as there was always at least one bird chirping, but there was absolutely nothing. It was completely silent. I knew that this usually means there's a large predator around. The fact that I was out in the open, with nowhere to really hide, didn't help either. I know a BB gun and a small knife weren't going to save me if a bear or a mountain lion really wanted to kill me. But I guess it gave me a sense of security. I picked up my target and headed back to camp with the BB gun held up as if it could actually kill something if I was attacked. I asked my dad if we could do some real shooting with the actual guns and he agreed. We set up targets and loaded the guns and my brother went first. My brother was a little too small to shoot a gun without my dad holding him, and he wasn't really much into shooting. Either way, I could shoot on my own and enjoyed it. My dad enjoyed it too, but not as much as me. After we were done, we put the targets that had been turned to Swiss cheese in the trash and ate dinner. After dinner, it was already starting to get dark, so we made a fire and made s'mores, and my brother went to go to sleep. My dad talked for a while. Then I noticed a pair of glowing yellow eyes in the bushes to the left of my dad, in front of me, but not getting any closer. Looking back on it, it was probably because of the fire. I told him and he said it was probably a raccoon and I just went with that again. I was watching them for a little while when all of a sudden they raised to about 9 feet off the ground, then disappeared like the animal closed its eyes. My dad noticed me stop talking and go pale and asked what was wrong. I said the animal with the glowing eyes that we saw earlier is really tall. He was confused and I explained that it looked like it was crouching, then stood up. I said it probably jumped, which makes sense, but the way they moved was so smooth and straight up without looking away. I just told myself that whatever it was, I was probably just over-exaggerating in my mind. After we were both tired, we both headed off to bed with the gun still on the dog cage. I drifted off to sleep, but I was awoken up several hours later to that same ear-splitting scream. But this time, it was only a few feet away from my head. It scared the ever-living crap out of me, and my brother was awake but silent like me, and I heard my dad mumble, "What the heck?" He whispered it was probably just a mountain lion and to try to get to sleep. At that point, I was convinced it was Satan himself and I was going to get ripped to shreds any second. I heard it rummaging through our things and my dad said, "Crap," under his breath and told me to grab the SIG, and he grabbed the Glock. We moved towards the door, and we only expected to have it be scared off by shooting in the dirt, but my brother was on the verge of tears. I was a little scared, but I thought that if we shot fast enough, it wouldn't be able to do anything. My dad readied me to shoot if we had to, and he opened the door to the tent, and we froze. This thing was tall and skinny. It looked like a deer with bare claws and like it was decaying. The smell, it made me want to gag. It smelled like a rotting corpse in the hot sun. I was quickly brought back to reality when my dad began shooting at it and made this sort of war cry. This creature replied with an ear-splitting scream that I just can't even begin to try to explain to you. I quickly began shooting myself, and I felt a searing hot pain in my left leg and fell to my ass and unloaded the rest of the magazine into this abomination. It screamed again and ran off. with my ears still ringing from the gunshots. I quickly tried to get up, only to realize I had a deep gash on my leg and my dad was unharmed, and quickly rushed over to me and helped me hop up to the truck. My dad got the dog and my brother, who was absolutely terrified and bawling his eyes out. He got them to the car and grabbed only the absolute essentials and hopped into the car and got out of those woods as quick as he could. Once we were out of the tree line, he handed me a belt to use as a makeshift tourniquet and hauled ass to the nearest hospital. In the hospital, I could see in the light that an artery or something like that was cut because I was bleeding like absolutely insane. Like, I can't even begin to try to make you guys understand how bad this flow of blood was. It was almost like I was a water fountain. I woke up probably about 30 minutes later with bandages around my leg. I was told by the doctor that without the belt around my leg, I probably would have died before reaching the hospital. My dad went back to grab our belongings and absolutely everything was torn to shreds, even the metal dog cage. He grabbed what he could and put everything that had been destroyed in the bed of the truck. My leg has since healed, and after some research, I think what I saw may have been a skinwalker in those woods. And I think it's safe to say that I'm not visiting those woods anytime soon, or ever again, if I'm honest. This story is one from a while ago, so some of the details might be a little fuzzy, but I'll try my best. Here is some background information. I was around 15 at the time this happened. Me and my family liked to take a trip to the mountains during the summer and winter. This story took place during one of those winter trips. My dad grew up in the mountains before moving, so he loves for us to go out and do anything involving nature when we go. We arrived at our cabin pretty late at night, so we opted to unpack everything in the morning, seeing as we were all pretty exhausted. My dad, brother, and sister head to bed and fall asleep pretty quickly. But being the night owl of the family, I was still up for longer than anybody else. Seeing as there was nothing else to do, I was on my phone. Eventually, my phone reaches 2%, and I realize I left my charger in the car. Not a big deal. I forget stuff in the car all the time. I'm not stupid, though, and I wake my sister up so she knows where I was going. After waving me off, I go to get my charger. As I'm shuffling through my stuff, I hear footsteps behind me. The car was parked, so it was facing some decently creepy woods. I figure that it's a deer or something along those lines. As soon as I go back to searching, I hear it take a few more steps. I brush it off because it was cold and me being in shorts didn't really help. That was until I stop again, only to have it stop. I stop. It stops. I move. It moves. I started to get worried and turned to look into the woods. At first, I laugh to myself at what I see. It's just a damn deer, I think. That mindset doesn't last for long, though. The longer I look at it, the more mangled and disturbing it looks. Its back legs were bending ways that a deer's legs probably shouldn't. I realize how abnormally large it was, even if it happens to be a buck. Its antlers weren't regal or majestic. Instead, it was bent and just wrong. I could make out rough shapes of hanging skin and fur, too. And even though the smell of pine and various other scents were strong, I could smell rot. It smelt like death the closer this thing got. It became so much more prominent. Pure dread and fear overwhelmed me and I hauled my butt back into the cabin. I completely forgot about the charger, seeing as I was basically peeing myself. I relax, feeling safer out of that thing's eyesight. That was until I realized that I forgot to close the car door. I curse myself mentally and debate if it's even worth the risk. On one hand, I could leave it open till morning and get my butt chewed by my dad. Or I could close it and risk it. Either way, now it's dead. So collecting every ounce of bravery, I opened the door and bolted to the car, quickly slamming the car door closed. It wasn't a long run back to the cabin, around 30 feet or so. I feel the dread come back, and as I run back, I could hear the heavy padding of the thing stalking after me in the woods. I enter the cabin, slamming the door's lock closed, like that was gonna stop it if it wanted to get in. Luckily, it didn't try to get in, even though we both knew it could. Having no idea how to react to what just happened, I go back to my room, being scared as hell. I didn't sleep for the rest of the night and kept my light on. Soon enough, the morning came, my family questioning the mess I was. I didn't even want to mention what I saw. It scared me so much. I managed to convince them it was just how exhausted I was from the long trip. I knew damn well it was more than that, though. From other stories that I've heard on this channel and read around the internet, I'm pretty sure what I saw was a Wendigo. And I can say, I don't ever want to see it again. It was the summer of 2017. I lived in the southern part of Ohio, and for the safety of myself and my companions, I will not be giving out names. Now, I am trained in search and rescue, including high-angle rescue and first aid CPR. I was bringing my four other friends, let's call them Jason, John, Jane, and Wallace. Wallace, Jane, and I were all very experienced shooters and hunters. John and Jason were city slickers who thought camping was an RV with satellite TV. Of course, it isn't otherwise I wouldn't have this story. We all had a system. Four tents, one as a spare, and to hold our MRE rations, as well as water and extra bullets, and each of us in a pair, except for Jane, who got the tent closest to the fire. And between all of us, the other part of the plan is that we all have three watches every night, each about 3 to 4 hours long, and each of us rotating with whoever had their spot. This is important because we were all about 12 miles into thick woods, and the only trail getting to our site is an old maintenance trail that only people very familiar with this park would know about. The first night went off well. Aside from Jason being spooked by a raccoon in a tree, Jane having confirmed it with our night vision scope, yes, we had rifles with us, Jane had a kitted out AR-15 she used as personal defense, and always had a .38 revolver in her pocket. I had brought my .45 Smith & Wesson, a .75 Swiss Mauser, and a small .410 shotgun, and Wallace brought his 12-gauge pump. John was a pretty gun-shy guy, but after this, he bought two rifles. It was the second night, and I was alone on the last watch before morning. From about 3 a.m. to 8 was the watch, and I thought I had heard footsteps, but never saw anyone in the area. These were no deer, coyote, or raccoon, but distinctively a person walking, and it sounded like it had a cane or a walking stick of some sort. Come morning, however, I didn't find any tracks. After that, we moved to the next site by taking the maintenance road to a larger site. This one had two tents that looked like two couples. We spoke and decided to share the site, and after the third day, the first couple, both very city-looking folk, had said that they had heard walking, but couldn't find the source with their flashlights. Then, John and Jason heard it too, from three directions. Finally, it was me and Jane, but no sounds. We all decided to have three-person watches, and to always have guns close by. I was on the first watch with the second couple. The husband of the group was a cop, so we had an extra 9mm with us. On our watch, we saw a ranger. He asked us what was with the guns, and halfway through explaining, the footsteps started. But this time, the woods went dead silent. I had my Mauser, the ranger had a revolver, and the couple had a pistol with us. Now, we couldn't see anything. Flashlight beams eaten by dense brush, and the firelight barely illuminating on the edge of the camp. But that is when the rock flew towards us, and written in blood, it said, "We like girls." Creepy, I know. I shot at the direction with my rifle, at mild annoyance to the cop and ranger. But the strangest part is that the bullet didn't hit the tree. But I didn't hear anyone cry out or anything else. Jane was even checking around us with night vision. Guys, she said, her voice shaky and hushed. I don't see anything, not even movement. At this point, we decided to stoke the fire bigger. The heat getting nearly unbearable, but we could barely see into the tree line. And when another rock was thrown, all of us shot in its direction, but striking nothing. Whoever you are, show yourself, yelled the ranger. But it's clear he was scared. The wife of the city couple started to have a breakdown. I checked the new rock, and I have never been so unnerved. I do believe in spirits, being pagan, but I don't wear symbolism of paganism, and I do not talk about it unless asked. But the runes and script on that stone was something to chill any pagan or Wiccan's blood. The symbol of a very powerful demon, and scripts detailing its summoning. I shot the stone, and at dawn, everyone started to leave, but we had to camp one last night or risk hiking in the dark. This is when Jason had the smaller shotgun, and John with the .45, the only two without firearms. The city couple had their pocket knives clenched with their white knuckles. We walked as fast as possible without leaving anyone behind. When night fell, we saw the shadows creep and follow us. My pagan knowledge leading me to believe that these shadows were shadow people enslaved by whatever was stalking us, pitching tents and stoking a roaring fire. Would melt your boots if you stood close enough anyway, is the only way we felt safe. It's then at midnight. I was asleep for about 3 or 4 hours, and I heard 3 shots at the pump, and then some cheers. I got him! I got the SOB! Yelled Jason. The ranger and I both looked at the pile of clothes and found it to be a gutted pig, stuffed in black jeans, a sweatshirt, and boots, with demonic carving all over it. The eyes had been pulled out. No one slept that night. The last day, and we finally made it out. I hate to imagine what would have happened to that ranger or those couples if we weren't there. None of us went camping in those woods again, and the local police didn't care enough to look into it. The ranger and I still talk on and off, and he refuses to hit those trails at night without navigation or night vision. And a couple of partners. I hope this encourages everyone to go camping in groups, and with more protection than just a buck knife. This story happened 3 or 4 years ago on my 15th birthday. At the time, me and my friends were really into airsoft, and I had just acquired a fancy new rifle for my birthday. Wanting to test my new toy out, I arranged to go out that Saturday with 3 other friends, one of them being old enough for them to drive us there. Being broke teenagers, we often didn't have enough cash to head to a legitimate field and play, so we usually just found a secluded spot in the woods to blast each other. Thinking back on this now, this was really stupid, because none of our guns had orange tips or anything like that. So, if someone had seen us, we would have been in huge trouble. The night that we had decided to go was a relatively warm summer night for Scotland, and my oldest friend picked me and our 2 other friends up at around 9 p.m. After an uneventful half-hour drive, we arrived at the woods that we usually played in. By this point, the sun had completely set, leaving us in almost complete darkness. We all had flashlights on our guns, so this wouldn't be a problem when we started playing, but the walk there would be less than ideal. We grabbed all of our gear out of the car and set off into the woods. After a good 30 to 40 minutes of walking, we came to a small clearing with plenty of thick trees around, topped off with some sort of abandoned house that looked like it was from the 19th century. Needless to say, it was a pretty cool spot. We all set 1-minute timers on our phones and sprinted off in different directions, the rule being that you weren't allowed to shoot until the timer ran its course. Now, Being the most athletic person, I ran for about 30 seconds, and then prone on the ground, breathing as I just ran a marathon. Not naturally being an outdoorsy type, the experience of being in the woods at night was quite refreshing to me. It was mostly silent, bar the occasional hoot of an owl, or the light breeze rustling the trees behind me. The rules of our game were that it was a free-for-all, and if you got hit, you went to the spot that we all started at and sat cross-legged until the round was over. It doesn't sound very exciting, but it meant that we finally got some use out of the gear that we paid hundreds of dollars for, so we were up for it. My phone buzzed in my pocket, signifying that the round had started. I swiped the timer away and zipped up my phone, flicking my gun off of safety and looking for any movement. I looked left, seeing nothing but a big rock, then right, where the abandoned house was. I lay there for a few moments before pushing myself up and heading into the direction of the building. I cringed as I realized just how loud my footsteps were at night, trying to slow down my pace as to not make so much noise. Peering through one of the glassless windows, I saw that the house was only one room, with two windows, a door, and a fireplace that looked like it hadn't been used since the Victorian era. It was completely dark at the rear of the room, away from the windows, so I quickly held my flashlight on and gave it a sweep. Seeing none of my friends hiding in the shadows, I climbed through the window very clumsily. When my foot hit the floor inside, the floorboard let out the loudest creak you could imagine, almost certainly audible to my friends, wherever they were. I set the barrel of my rifle on the windowsill, sweeping the landscape outside for any movement after maybe 10 minutes of nothing. I heard a rustling that sounded like it was coming from beside the house, the side with no windows. I was careful not to make a sound as the rustling came right from the outside of the building, before stopping at what I would guess was the corner. I waited a tense few seconds, before getting impatient and peeking my head outside. All was silent as I raised my gun to the right corner, ready to pull the trigger at the slightest movement. To my dismay, I felt a BB hit the back of my neck, accompanied by the familiar sound of the AEG firing behind me, meaning that I had misjudged the direction of the sound. "Hit!" I called, raising my arm in the air, turning around to see the one who had shot me. It was then that I heard a frantic rustling, like that of someone sprinting through a brush to try to get away. It sounded like whoever it was legged it as quickly as they could towards the back of the house, and then kept running into the direction that I could hear them no more. Slightly freaked out, I turned back towards the direction that I had been shot from and saw my friend Owen moving as quickly as he could. I quickly made my way over to him and asked him if he had heard whatever was running too. When he said he didn't, I gave him a look as if he was crazy. When he said he didn't, I was honestly blown away. It was so loud. My arm was still raised in the air to let others know that I was out so I didn't get shot again. Upon arriving at the starting zone, it turned out Owen had won the first round, me being the last person out. We played maybe between 5 and 6 more rounds before deciding that this was the last one we were going to play tonight. We followed the procedures of setting the timers on our phones and running away like crazy people until I found myself next to the large rock I had seen earlier. Thinking that it was a good cover, I went into a crouched position and scanned for my friends moving around in the direction of the starting area. Again, a few minutes passed before I heard the snapping of branches behind me. I quickly turned to face them, adjusting myself so that just my head and shoulders were visible, as well as my gun. Waiting for one of my friends to emerge into the small amount of moonlight peeking between the trees, I stayed with my finger on the trigger for at least 30 seconds. It was then that I saw the person emerge in the darkness, but it wasn't my friends. It was an old, decrepit man. He looked skinnier than anyone I'd ever seen in my life, and I could tell because he was only wearing clothes on the bottom half of his body. He stumbled like he was drunk or high on something, and I could smell the foul stench of him all the way over here. I was easily 5 meters away from him. His hair looked like it had never been cut, and it was greasy and matted, like the last time he showered was months ago. I felt my heart rate picking up as he walked in the direction of the starting zone. Unsure of what to do, I gently sat down, keeping my barrel in the direction of the starting zone. He slowly stumbled along, before stopping dead in his tracks. He was completely still for a moment, until he jerked his head quickly to the right, looking straight at me. I was sure he wasn't able to see me because of how dark it was, but almost immediately, as I had thought that, he started stumbling towards me at an accelerated pace. Panicking, I emptied as much of my magazine as I could into him as I stood up, shouting at the top of my lungs. When I ran dry, I sprinted as quickly as possible. When I got to the starting zone, I shouted for all of my friends as loud and frantically as I could, hoping that they would think that I was trying to get them and they would come to me. Less than a minute later, all of them appeared in the clearing, asking what the heck was going on. Unable to construct a proper sentence, I just gestured for them to follow me back into the direction of the car. Understanding that something was wrong, they followed me as I started jogging. A few minutes later, I calmed down enough to string together a sentence and told them that there was some old guy high out of his mind on something chasing me around the woods. Trusting that I wasn't BSing them, we continued our walk back towards the car. By this point, it was around 12 a.m., so we picked up the pace so that we couldn't be late getting home. We speed walked for about 20 minutes, all the while everyone was trying to calm me down. By this point, we assumed that whoever it was, or whatever it was far back in our dust. But to our horror, we heard twigs snapping and leaves rustling to our left. We were back on a path by now, so that meant that wherever this guy was, he was walking fast enough through the shrubbery and thorns to get to us. But we all aimed into the woods and flicked our flashlights on, revealing 5 to 6 guys, all just as skinny and gross as the one I had seen before trailing us. Needless to say, we unloaded into the woods, screamed, and sprinted back to the car. We made it to the car in probably just under a minute, not even bothering to change out of our gear. We threw ourselves into the car and peeled out of there. Looking back to see no one there, thankfully, we all made it out without finding what these guys' intentions were. But I still think about this experience from time to time and wonder what they wanted with 4 teenagers, and why they were that deep into the woods at that time of night. Maybe it was some sort of cult initiation where I was just lucky enough to meet a bunch of crackheads. Either way, I don't think that night's events will ever leave my mind. This happened up in the White Mountains of Arizona in September of 2019. It was more like the end of the month. My husband and our 2 little dogs went camping off the main road by this big lake in a dirt forest roadway back into the woods. We were at least 7 or 8 miles back into this canyon that ran along the Black River when we finally decided on a nice spot to make camp for a couple of nights. We were going to do some fishing in the Black River the next morning for Apache trout. It was a beautiful spot, thick forest, and not another soul around for miles. We got our tent set up and made a little campfire and dinner, as it was quickly getting dark. Letting the campfire burn down to just glowing embers before pouring water on it, then we got into our tent to call it a night. It was around 11:15 or so when we were in our sleeping bags and saying goodnight. It was definitely a cool early autumn night, so being cozy in our sleeping bags felt nice, and we fell off to sleep quickly. Waking up at around 3 a.m. to revive myself, I was now wide awake as I lay there. I heard a distant sound of what I can only describe as children giggling and laughing as the sounds got closer. It was no doubt little kids laughing and giggling. It must have been several, maybe 5 or 6 from the sounds that I was picking up. I woke my husband up to hear them too. But what the heck are little kids doing out in the middle of the woods in the middle of the night? Now the sounds of laughter were right outside the tent. We could hear whispering, but could not make out the words. My husband grabbed a flashlight and quickly went out of the tent to see who or what the heck was going on. As he did, I looked up out the tent flap and as well, I seemingly saw nothing. There was no one around. My husband went around looking around into the trees and all sides of the tent, but saw nothing. After a few minutes, we saw what looked like to be a floating orb going through the air around the trees. It was about the size of a softball. It just kind of floated around right in front of us for a couple of moments before it just disappeared into the darkness. That was really strange, but we both heard the laughter and saw the orb after going back into the tent. Neither one of us could fall asleep, so we just laid there, listening to the sounds of the night. But we didn't hear anything else strange, or see anything. At first light, we took a good look around and nothing in the camp was disturbed whatever, so it meant no harm, no foul, you know? But we still packed up and went to a big lake and stayed in the campground with other people. I'm not sure what happened, but it was a strange and creepy event. Thanks for listening to these creepy, allegedly true stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share, whether it be a creepy encounter in the woods or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. If you're new, why not subscribe and join the swamp? I upload brand new scary stories almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. I would love to know what story was your favorite tonight. Definitely comment that down below. If you guys aren't aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you listen to podcasts. If you guys don't know, me and Unit 522 just released our first single together. We made a metal band quite some time ago called Within the Groves, and we have finally just started releasing music. You can find the link to that song in the top of the description. I would love to get your feedback on that. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.